Genesis chapter 24. Now we're continuing our lesson on great chapters of the Bible, and we come to another great chapter found here in the first book of the Bible. Now in this chapter, we're going to read about Abraham sending a servant to choose a bride for his son Isaac. Now Abraham didn't want a bride to be chosen from the Canaanites for Isaac. So what did he do? He calls his eldest servant to his house to go back to his country and there get a bride for his promised son Isaac. Now this story unfolds in this chapter, and when you read this chapter, it's more than just a story in history. It has a lot of theological implications, and it pictures the Father, the Heavenly Father, choosing a bride for his son Jesus. There is a lot of typology in this story. Notice Abraham here is a type of the Heavenly Father. Notice what it says in verse 1 and 2. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Now, isn't that a great start to this chapter? I don't know about you, but when I get old, I want to still be loving the Lord, still serving the Lord, still living under the spout where the blessing comes out. And I want to, you know, even if I'm stricken in age, I still want God's blessings upon me. Then it goes on to say, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Now, Abraham in this story is a type of God the Father. The servant here is a type of the Holy Spirit. He does not speak of himself, but he seeks a bride for the bridegroom. Notice what it says in John 16, verse 7 through 14. John chapter 16, verse 7 through 14. Now, here we read this. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now, the servant, he didn't go with his own message, did he? The servant went with the message of Abraham. And guess what? He delivered that message just like everybody who's supposed to go soul winning and deliver the message of the gospel. You know, when we go soul winning, we need to realize we're not inviting people to a funeral. We're really inviting them to a wedding. But we need to deliver the message. And the Holy Spirit, of course, inspired this word, and this is where the message needs to come from. Then when you read about the bride, that's a type of all Christians. We Christians are called the bride of what? Christ. Notice what it says in John chapter 3, verse 28 and 29. John chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. Are you there yet? Good. It says, ye yourselves bear me witness. Now, this is John the Baptist speaking. That I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the what? Bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Then notice what it says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 through 9. Here we read about the wedding feast that we are going to be a part of in heaven. Notice what it says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 through 9. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, who's the wife? We believers, right? Those who got born again. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So we do have a bridegroom. His name is what? Jesus. And we who are saved are the what? Bride. Now, the far country is a type of the world. Notice what it says back in Genesis chapter 24. Notice what it says in verse 4. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 4. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my what? Son Isaac. Now the son, who do you think that would be a type of? If Abraham was a type of the Father, the servant a type of the Holy Spirit, who do you think the son is a type of? Yeah, it's a type of Jesus. Now, notice the miracle. Let's read verses 1 through 7. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I'll make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Now he's saying, you know, what if she doesn't want to come? Do I need to bring Isaac back to your own country and so they can, you know, see each other and see if this is going to work? And the servant said unto him, well, we already read that. And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not thy son thither again. Bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Now, how many think this servant was going to go by faith? How many believed Abraham was believing that servant would fulfill his task, and it was all by what? Faith in God's word. You know, Abraham believed God's word, and it's amazing how many people don't do it today. Even people in the church don't believe God's word. Oh, they believe some of it. They believe the parts they like, but when it's time to, you know, where the rubber meets the road, they dismiss the parts they don't like, and they say, you know what, I'm not going to practice that. I'm not going to do that. Now, are they really trusting God's word? No, they're not living by faith. They're living by their own wits. And what a terrible thing that is. So God sends this angel before the servant. Now, notice the miracle was asked for and received in verse 12 through 19. Here we read, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. He said, man, I hope this thing works out quickly, you know, and you show some kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, now you talk about quick. You talk about speedy. He barely got done praying, and here comes what? Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the daughter of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was fair to look upon. You say, what's that mean? She was good looking. Amen. And a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have what? Done drinking. Now the servant didn't really know how to choose the bride or which young lady would be the bride that would be best suited for Isaac. But he did ask the Lord, and that's a wonderful thing. You know what? He's in a quandary. He needs some indication that this would be the bride best suited for his master's son. And so he says, you know, Lord, let it come to pass, you know, when I talk to this young lady and ask her for a drink, that she would give me a drink, but you would also give my camels drink also. By this, the servant would know that she's the one. Now, so the servant goes into the far country. He comes to this place. He sees Rebekah. And he asks her for a drink of water. And then she offers to give his camels drink also. Now you say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, you got to remember, these camels traveled quite a long way. How many think they were thirsty? Now, when camels drink, they just don't take a little sip. They drink gallons and gallons. And so you're talking about Rebekah had to go back and forth with this pitcher to give those camels drink. I mean, I don't know how many gallons of water a camel can drink, but they can drink a whole lot. And so this was a lot of work. And so really what this servant is looking for, he's like, man, you know what? Not only is she good looking, but she's got a good attitude. You know, he didn't ask her to get those camels drink. She made an offer. Now, it seems to me like she's pretty good spirits, don't you think? She didn't say, well, here, I'll give you a drink of water, but don't ask me to drink, give your camels any drink. That's on you. You know, a lot of girls would probably say that, wouldn't they? Well, I'll give you a drink of water, but your camels, that's on you. I'm not doing that. That's a lot of work. And not only that, not only did she display a decent attitude, she displayed that she had a work ethic. You know, she wasn't laying on the couch watching Oprah eating chocolate bonbons. She was out there working. And she was willing to work. She was willing to do a tough task. And she wasn't expecting anything. You say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, if you're going to get married, guys, that's a good one to get married. One that rings your bell, one that's hardworking, one got a sweet spirit about her. This gave him the indication this was the right one for Isaac to marry. Now, this may seem like a little thing, but it wasn't. It was a lot of hard work for her to get those camels' thirst quenched. Now, after a long taxing service, all that travel, this miracle takes place. Now, we read it, we might think, wow, what a coincidence. Was it a coincidence? I don't think so. I think it was an answer to prayer. I think it was a reward for the faith that was displayed. Then notice the gifts. Notice what it says in verse 22, how she was rewarded here by the servant of Abraham. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that must have took some time, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. Now, he gives these, this golden earring and these two bracelets to Rebekah. Now, notice the order here. What came first? The earring did, right? And then what happened? Then she got what? Bracelets. Now, remember, this whole story here is typical of the gospel, right? And so the earring, that would represent hearing, wouldn't it? It's placed upon the what? Ear. You know, that's, I think, why they call it an earring. It's pretty deep here. But but anyways, so when it comes to the gospel, what do we must first do? We must hear it, correct? Faith cometh by hearing and what? Hearing by the word of God. And then, what's the next step? After you hear it, you have one or two choices. You need to what? Receive it. That's where the bracelets come in. What are they put on? The hands, right? And so you need to receive it. First you hear the gospel, then you receive it. Now, not does everybody that hear the gospel receive it? No, not at all. You know, this Monday, wasn't it? When I met with the metal roofing guy. He comes in and he's talking about, you know, church. And, you know, oh, this will look nice on a church. And I'm like, okay. Before we even talk turkey or talk business, I said, well, do you go to church? He says, well, I'm kind of inclined to be more Jewish. I said, more Jewish? I said, you come from a Jewish family? Or, you know, no, I just like to study the Torah. I said, really? He says, yeah. I said, well, let me tell you about a Jewish Savior who came years ago. And I even pulled some Old Testament stories out when I was telling him. And I'm thinking, well, if he studied the Torah, he would know this. And I'm going through some of these stories, and he's looking at me like, huh? You know, I don't know if he was surprised because a Baptist knew this stuff, or I think he was surprised because he didn't know the Torah that he was trying to bamboozle me with. But I go through the whole thing, and I said, would you like to trust Christ as your Savior? And he says, well, you got me to think about some things, but not right now. Now, he's taking a gamble, isn't he? But he did hear the truth. And my obligation was done. Now, did he hear the truth? Yes. Don't worry, I won't trip over my own shoestrings. Then, but he heard it, but he did not what? Receive it. Now, that's on him. And I'll be honest with you, when I was going through that, I thought for sure this guy's going to get saved. But he didn't. But that's on him. He failed to receive the message. Then notice this. There were gifts for her family. Look at verse 53 here of this chapter. And it says, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother, what? Precious things. Now, that's an interesting thing. You know, as soon as Rebekah had received the servant's proposal to go back to be with Isaac, her family also started receiving blessings. And so what does that mean? What does that have to do with anything? Well, how about this? When you got saved, you know what? You ought to be a blessing to your family. It shouldn't just stop with you. You should have an impact on others. You know what Rebekah did? She decides she's going back with Isaac, and you know what? The whole family is blessed. Now, how is it with your family? How is it with you? Is your family blessed because you are saved? Are they reaping anything because of that? Why not? You know, I remember when Connie got saved. She was the first one in the family to get saved. And you know what? There was an influence that she had. And you know what? Then I got saved. Then my parents came over to England. And then, you know what my dad said? No, my mom said this to me one time. She said, you know, John, I was so glad. She said, I didn't care if you were involved in a cult. As long as somebody could get you to behave, I was fine. That's what she said. I'm like, thanks, Mom. But anyways, you know what? They came over. They got saved. And you know what my dad told me before he got saved? We were driving back from the airport where I picked them up. They were staying with us for a couple of weeks. And he looked at me and said, I wish I had what you had. And you know what? He got saved that night. So did my mom. And you know what? They took it back. And you know what happened? The rest of the family made professions of faith in Christ. Some of them are still in church today. Most of them are. But I'm telling you, you know what? When we are with family, they ought to be blessed by our presence. They ought to be, man, you know, it's good to see you. We ought to be there to help and serve and do what we can and shine our lights and be the salt that we ought to be. I don't know about you, but you know what? In my family, you know what? They're glad to see me. Probably because I'm bringing Connie with her. But they're glad to see us. They really are. And by the way, we don't all have the same opinions. Man, we're about a diverse group of bunch as you can imagine. But they like me being around, every one of them. How is it with you and your family? Do they see you coming to a family function or a reunion and go, oh man, here comes the family nightmare? That should never be the case, by the way, if you are a Christian. You don't have to go there and correct everything they're doing wrong. You know, matter of fact, you don't even have to open your mouth about things. You know, you can ask Connie, I don't do that. You know, but if they ask me, then I tell them. But I don't feel free to spout my mouth about everything that comes off the top of my head and express my opinion. But when they ask me, I say, well, the Bible says. Now, they can do with it what they want. But I enjoy being with my family, my brothers and sisters. They seem to enjoy being with us. Matter of fact, two of them already offered Connie and I places to stay if we ever fell on hard times, and they said they'd both take care of us in our older years. Now, that hasn't been available to all of my siblings from these two, but it has been for me and Connie. You say, why is that? Because we care about them. Because we help them when we're there. We try to be a blessing. They enjoy being with us. That's the way it ought to be for all of God's people, by the way. Then notice the pressing for decision here. Look at verse 56. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. Now he is pressing for a decision. He doesn't want to be stalled. He said, you know what? Rebecca wants to go. She wants to be married to Isaac. You know, the family, you know, wants her to stay, no doubt. They just met this guy. They don't know much about him. But he's wanting to get the task done. Correct? He wants Rebecca to leave so they can get back to where he belongs. You know, the Holy Spirit's interested in salvation now. You know, we can't help the past. You can't, you know, you don't know if you're going to be around tomorrow, so salvation needs to happen what? Today. Today is the day of what? Salvation. And so many people put it off and they're gambling with their soul, and their soul is the most priceless thing that they have. He says, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me that I may go to my master. The servant is saying, I want us to do his will now. You know, we just celebrated the new year, haven't we? I wonder if some made decisions or resolutions that they're going to start doing the will of God on the first of the year. If not, maybe you ought to make that resolution this morning. Say, you know what, God, whatever you have for me, that's what I want to do. And I plan on doing it this year. You know what, I want to change. I want to be more Christ-like. I want to be more useful. I want to serve you with more vigor and zeal. Help me, Lord. I want to do what's right. I want to be more obedient this year than I was last year. There's areas in my life that you've been dealing with me on, and I have yet to make haste and do those things. But this year's going to be different for me. That'd be good, wouldn't it? So Rebekah and the servant leave to go to Isaac. Now, that's a picture of our salvation and our journey to heaven. Then notice the journey in verse 58 and 59. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, what? I will go. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his what? Men. Now, this is interesting. She decides to marry Isaac, basically. Right? Did she ever see him? Did she know what he looked like? Did he know what he possessed? Did he know the did she know the land where she was going to? Not at all. But yet she decided to marry Isaac. Think about that. How many here have seen Jesus? Raise your hand. You only see him in the scriptures. None of us have ever seen him. But we still what? We're married to him. We still love him. Do we know much about the land we're going to? Not a whole lot. Just what the Bible says. And basically, you know, that's not even half of what we are told. So it's really going to be a wonderful place, isn't it? But we don't know everything we should know about Jesus either, do we? But what a wonderful thing that is. And you know, we're journeying to that land, are we not? And I think the journey's been pretty good. But one day we're going to see him, what? Face to face. Now, this is a picture of what happens to us after we receive Christ. We go on that journey, and we eventually meet our bridegroom. Now, we are to be led during that journey, and led by who? The Holy Spirit of God. Now, no doubt the servant said to Rebekah, listen, you stay close to me, right? Don't be wandering off. Don't go your own way. You need to follow me. I'll take you to the place where your husband will be. Same thing happens to us believers. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. It says, for as many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. Now, how many think on his journey from Padanaram back to Canaan, that perhaps, you know what, when they were traveling, there might have been some mountaintops. I mean, it wasn't totally flat. It wasn't Kansas they were going through. You know, and then maybe after that mountaintop, what would happen? They'd go down into a valley. Now, was it all mountaintops? No. Was it all valleys? No. Perhaps some days the sun was shining. And maybe other days, you know, the clouds rolled in and started raining. But what was her job? Her job was to what? Follow the servant. That's what her job was. Whether she was on a mountaintop or in a valley, going across rivers or whatever, she was just to follow the servant. He alone knew the way. Now, tragedy would be hers if she did not follow. The same is true of God's people. You know, some days we're on mountaintops. Some days are great, aren't they? And you wish, man, I hope I never come down. And then you figure out you're going down rather rapidly. And you go into that valley, don't you? But you know what? Those valleys aren't so bad. You know, there's flowers down there. There's streams down there. And you know what we find out? You know, when we walk with him down in those valleys, we usually draw closer to him than we are when we're on the mountaintops. Some days the sun shines. Other days the clouds are hanging rather low. We must, however, follow the Holy Spirit and his leadership. Then notice what it says in verse 61. By the way, this happens to be the longest chapter in the book of Genesis. And Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went, what? His way. Then notice the meeting here in verse 65. Well, let's read verse 64. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes when she had saw Isaac. Notice that. She saw who? Isaac. And then notice what she does. She starts smoking. She lighted off a camel. Isn't that what it says? She got nervous. I learned it from that guy that had some Jewish leanings Monday. But anyways, now why do you think she lighted off the candle? The camel. Huh? You think she was excited, maybe? You think she jumped off that camel? And what do you think she did when she hit the ground? Ran where? That's right, ran to Isaac. She saw Isaac, she left the servant, ran to him. What a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit taking us to the Lord Jesus. Amen? Then notice the marriage in verse 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his what? His wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. It's a wonderful story, isn't it? You know, one of these days we're going to be with Jesus. And you read the rest of the story of Isaac and Rebekah. They stayed till what? Death do they part. You know, the day's coming when we will be wed to Jesus. And we will keep that vow till death do we part. And since we've been given eternal life and he never dies, we'll always be what? Together. What a wonderful story. You can read salvation in here rather easily. And I believe that's why it's the longest chapter, perhaps, in the book of Genesis. All right, we'll have some more in just a few minutes.